brought to you by Penguin.
The Clockwinder by Ann Tyler. Read by Suzanne Perret. Chapter 1, 1960. The house had outlived its usefulness. It sat hooded and silent, a brown shingleboard monstrosity close to the road, but backed by woods, far enough from downtown Baltimore to escape the ashy smell of the factories. The uppermost windows were shuttered, the wraparound veranda, with its shiny gray floorboards and sky-blue ceiling, remained empty even when neighbors' porches filled up with children and dogs and drop-in visitors. Yet clearly, someone still lived there. A pile of raked leaves sat by the walk. A loaded bird feeder hung in the dogwood tree. And in the side yard, Richard the handyman stood peeing against a rosebush with his profile to the house, and his long black face dreamy and distant. Now out popped Mrs. Emerson, skin and bones in a shimmery gray dress that matched the floorboards. Her face was carefully made up, although it was not yet 10 in the morning. Whatever she planned to say was already stirring her pink pursed lips. She crossed the veranda rapidly on clicking heels. She descended the steps gingerly, sideways, holding tight to the railing. "Richard," she said. "What is that I see you doing?"
"Just cutting back the roses is all," Richard said.
His back turned to her. He waved a pair of pruning shears behind him, hip high.
"I meant what you're doing at this moment, Richard." "Oh, why nothing," Richard said.
It was true. He was zipped up by now, free to turn and beam and click his shears on thin air. Mrs. Emerson stopped in front of him and folded her arms.
"Don't try to get around me, Richard. I looked out my window and saw you. I thought, Richard? Is that Richard?" "I was preparing to cut back the roses," Richard said.
"Is that what you call it?"
Richard had a special set of gestures he made when embarrassed, pivoting on his heels with his head hanging down, working something over in his hands. He twisted the rubber grips on his shears and said,
"It's getting time now. Fall is coming on."
"That house you are standing by is Mrs. Walter Bell's," said Mrs. Emerson, "in full clear view of her dining room window. Don't think that I won't hear about this."
I wasn't doing nothing, Mrs. Emerson."
"Oh, hush."
I was only cutting back the roses."
"Just hush. Oh, I don't know. I really don't know," said Mrs. Emerson.
"You're just distraught nowadays, that's all."
"Distraught? Why would I be distraught?" said Mrs. Emerson. "Oh, give me those shears. Hand them over. You're fired."
Richard stopped twisting the shears. He looked up at her with his mouth open, his face jutting forward, as if he had trouble seeing her.
"Ah, now," he said.
"I'll cut back my own damn roses."
"Now, Mrs. Emerson, you know you don't mean that. You'd never just fire me. Why, I've been working here 25 years, not counting the war. Planting them roses myself. Watered them daily. Do I have to tell you that?"
"I don't know what kind of watering you're talking about," said Mrs. Emerson. "But you're leaving anyway. Don't expect wages either. It's only Monday and you were paid Friday. You've been here not half an hour yet, and most of that time ill spent. Oh, I looked out that window and thought I was seeing things. I thought, what have we come to after all? What's it going to be next? First Emmeline letting my transistor radio run down, and then no sooner do I let her go than you start in. Well, you can send your new employers to me for a reference, but don't expect me to cover up for you. Works well, I'll say. But tinkles on the flowers. Maybe some won't mind."
"Couldn't you just take a little longer over this?"
Mrs. Emerson raised her chin and looked past him, twiddling with the empty sleeves of her sweater. She said,
"Longer? Why should I take longer?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?